This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning. How you doing? Happy New Year. Happy late Christmas. Got Kim here and Ethan. Mark's taking a couple of well-deserved days off, and I'm glad to be hanging out with you guys.
Sorry, I was eating a bar when you said that.
What were you eating?
A bar.
One of those food bars?
Something like that. And one of those RX bars.
Take a look at the label. You might as well eat a Snickers. I love these bars that, you know, like these nature bars and things like that. You look at the amount of sugar that's in them versus give me a Snickers instead.
Oh, I know. Some of them are really bad.
All right, let's see the grams of sugar.
No,
in
this
that,
is, well, so it has total grams is 15 grams. It says 0 grams added sugar. I mean, a lot of these bars are complete junk, and you're right. The cereals are terrible for the kids, and of course, they're marketed toward children. Bars are often terrible, like the quote-unquote protein bars.
Okay, hang on. I'm looking up Snickers sugar grams.
But these are the RX bars, I don't think, are as bad as some of the other bars. Like, for example, they have dates, which would have a lot of natural sugar in them.
Okay. Okay, I don't want to criticize. Apparently, Snickers has 29 grams of sugar.
Yeah, but that's all added sugar, pretty much. This is sugar from dates. Again, I'm not saying this is the most amazing bar, but there are some really, really bad bars out there, and then there are bars like the RX bar, which I feel better about.
What are those ones that are they the Cliff bars? They just look like a flat piece of whatever, but there's something good about them, and I used to use them a lot when I was skiing because you could fall on them 20 times and not squish them.
What
are they called?
About.
Cliff bars or something
oh,
like that?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yes.
You know what I'm talking about, Ethan? The Cliff
those
bars,
are
right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've never eaten a Cliff bar, but yes, that's what they're called.
Yeah,
delicious.
I used to like those, and when I would ski, I would also put bagels in my pocket, you know, just a raw bagel. Because if you fall on it, it doesn't get wrecked. And you put a little plastic bag, and then because I would always fall, and then you can eat it later. These are handy tips for the winter for me.
Good to know. Never skied. Well, actually, the only time I've skied is for a live shot when I was in TV, which is the running joke with my husband. Every time he asks if I've done something, he's like, is it for a live shot?
That's funny.
Well, yes, it was.
Do you remember a couple of years ago during the California fires? I believe, was it David Muir? Where they had a side shot of him and he had that, you know, the turnouts like the firefighters wear, and he had it all tucked behind with clips to make it fit him more tightly. Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
I'm pretty sure it was David Muir, and it was hilarious. I mean, they're not supposed to be tight, buddy, because when firefighters wear them, wait for it, they're supposed to be able to move. And yet, you know what I'm talking about? When they clamp your clothes in the back, like when you try on a wedding dress or something, right? They clamp it in the back so it fits so they can see what it's going to look like on you before it gets altered, right? Literally, there was a side shot of him. He had the clamps in the back of the turnout.
No, I did not. I do not remember that. I'll have to look that up.
It's funny. Speaking of live shots, yeah. Man of the people. There you go. I'm pretty sure with David Muir, who, by the way, I think is a great anchor man. I'm not putting him down, but it was just pretty funny. I'm sure a lot of people do things like that. So pennies, are you missing pennies yet? I mean, a lot of people are talking about going cashless, which makes me a little nervous, can I be honest? Because the thing about going cashless to me is that someone is tracking everything you do, unless, of course, you go get one of those cards, like buy a prepaid card and use that. Otherwise, somebody's tracking every purchase you make. I don't like that.
I don't like that they're tracking every purchase that you make. I don't pay with cash often, but I like knowing that I can. So they're tracking everything. And if something like a hacker were to get in, or for example, in Canada, when people were not getting the COVID shots, they can shut your bank account down. And
Right. Now
how do you pay for anything? If every single thing is going cashless, what are
Right.
you supposed to do? I guess.
Exactly.
Because even if you pulled money out from the ATM, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, if the world goes on fire, like a lot of people are constantly predicting that it's going to, you know what's going to be more valuable? Coffee. Ground coffee is going to be worth more than your money.
Very
right?
true.
Excedrin is going to be worth it more than your money. You know, things like that are going to be worth a lot more than cash. But the idea. But see, we're going to still, like, I pay the guy who cuts my hair. I pay him cash. I pay the girl who grooms my dog. I finally had to succumb to the dog grooming thing. I have three dogs. Two of them require grooming. I do the big one, but she does the little multi-poo because the multi-poo would never hold still for me. And by the time we got done, she'd hate me and I'd hate her. And I would just feel bad about the whole process. And now I have a groomer who does it. And I always felt like that was such an extravagance, but she looks so much better and she's happier and I'm happier. But I pay her cash. I mean, there's always going to be a huge underground economy, no matter what you do. I know they'd like to trace every single thing that we do. But and plus, you know, what's scary, too, is that, you know, there are a lot of countries that do these things called social credit. You know what I'm talking about? Right.
Doesn't was it China?
China, right?
I think China does that.
Some other ones have talked about it. And so how scary that you could not buy something because they don't feel like you're a good enough girl or boy.
Or, I mean, sometimes I like to pay with cash just so I can avoid that stupid question of, do you want a tip? And then the person turns the thing around to you and they're just waiting to see what kind of tip you're going to get. But if you don't have to pay with a card, then you don't often get asked that question. Mm. But to your point, Heidi, if this is the whole social standard, whatever thing, are we judged based off our tipping? Because I would like to think I'm a pretty decent tipper. However, do I feel I need to tip $4 on a coffee you handed me in a drive-through line? No, I don't even feel like I should have to tip you if I get a latte. I'm sorry, I don't get them very often, but no, I'm paying like $7 for the latte. You make a decent wage. To me, a tip is either like above and beyond service, or it's an industry like the, you know, servers at a restaurant where they're not making a lot of money and they rely on those tips to make up the difference.
Right. Yeah, I was a waitress. Well, waitress, obviously, they got tip, but I worked at fast food places. I never expected a tip.
Oh, yeah. Now at McDonald's, it's like, you know, I handed you your burger. Would you like to give me a 20% tip?
Yeah, you're going to buy 3 chocolate chip cookies. Once in a while, I'll go through the drive-thru. Have you ever had those?
At McDonald's?
The chocolate chip cookies?
I don't think so. I didn't.
Go ahead. Have you had them, Ethan?
I have not.
Okay, go ahead. Scoff. Telling you right now, they're better than mom makes. They are the best cookies in the entire world. And when I did a full-time morning show, I used to bring those in every once in a while. They sell you a box, like 12 or 13 cookies. In a box, I'd bring them in for the crew. You kid me? They loved me for that.
I guess I'll have to try the McDonald's cookies.
I know, but I don't have it. I'm giving them a free plug this morning, but I don't have an idea of, I mean, you don't tip for something like that. I mean, you're handing it out the drive through window. I never got tip when I did that job.
But it's not even, it's just everything. Every single place wants a tip now, and it's getting so out of hand. It seriously makes me not want to tip. Like if I have to go order from the counter and pick up my food and put my tray back like at Breadco, or I guess you'd call it Panera, why am I tipping? But they always expect a tip now.
I know. Must be nice, huh?
I'm sorry. What did you do? What service did you provide me except literally hitting the button on the screen to say, would you like anything else? That does not deserve a 20% tip. And yet you feel like a cheapskate if you when they flip the screen around, if you put... Because it almost auto does it. Like it, and right. I've been griping about this, but when I get my son's haircut at Great Clips, which I kind of want to learn to cut his hair on my own because we'd save a lot of money. But when you get your haircut there, the lowest tip suggestion is, I want to say 25%. I mean,
no, it's stupid, Heidi.
It starts at like 25%, goes up to like 40%. Who is going to tip 40% on a little 3-year-old, 2-year-old's haircut? So if you don't want to do the ridiculous tip that they suggest, you have to go, you know, custom. So it takes you a little bit more time, and the whole thing is just infuriating.
And now everybody knows you're being cheap because you're not hitting the automatic 40%.
Right.
Now they hate you. And when I do tip somebody, any place I go, which is not every place, but when I do tip them, I do it in cash. I don't like the idea if let's say go to a restaurant, I don't want that waitress or waiter to have that money documented. I will give them a tip in cash.
Well, you're better than me. I don't do that. But I don't carry cash often. Yeah. So don't rob me, people, because I don't have anything that you're going to want.
I know, right?
Well, yeah, there you go. Well, that is an advantage to not having cash on you. But now with the pennies being gone, the question has become for retailers, should they round up or round down? I say they round down. What do you guys say?
Oh, yeah, but that's not what they'll do.
Yeah. It's just a weird thing now. Retailers don't even know what to do. But you know and I know that the push is to try to get us on a cashless basis.
Well,
I don't like that.
I mean, the zoo just announced recently, the St. Louis Zoo, that they're going cashless. And we, you know, the botanical gardens, a lot of the other major attractions in the St. Louis area have already or are in the process of going cashless.
Now, why do you suppose that is? Is it convenience? Is it the idea that my husband and I went to one of those things where they do the Christmas lights and all that stuff a couple weeks ago. I think I told you guys about that, and more of a kid thing than an adult thing. Went with some friends, lots of pretty lights, blah, blah, blah. Bought a couple things, but nobody took cash. And maybe it's because the vendors just don't want to bother with it. Maybe it's because the people who are running the concessions don't want to worry about theft. I mean, why do you suppose they don't want to do cash? Yeah. Just don't want to worry about counting out a drawer at the end of the night or what?
My bet would be that A, you have to worry about counterfeit bills. So you have to take the time to deal with that, right? It takes more time if you're trying to count the cash, count the coins. You're right. The whole closing out the drawer at the end of the day would be annoying. Those would be, to me, the biggest reasons why they wouldn't want to do that. I don't want to deal with the hassle of it.
I think you might have hit on something, though, because a lot of people, let's say younger people, don't know how to count out cash anymore.
One, that's true, too. Two, three. I messed up. Let me start over.
Yeah, I'm like,
right. That is true.
Oh, if you had me give someone change and the little thing didn't tell me exactly how much change, unless it was a very basic transaction, it would take me a minute.
Yeah. Maybe now, but if I was working in a restaurant like that, I used to be able to do it just like that, you know?
Yeah, these are skills that we lose quickly. It's funny, too. There used to be a particular place I'd go and get chicken fingers, and they would always ask for ID with my card. And they finally quit doing that. I said, ma'am, if this was a stolen credit card, I'd be at Nordstrom buying shoes. I would not be buying chicken fingers. Can I? Really?
I'd go buy myself a steak at the very least.
Exactly. Right. I'd be buying handbags or something. I would not be. I would not be here buying $7 worth of chicken fingers. That's.
Yeah. What do they normally go spend their money on? Don't they go buy the big purchases? Right.
I would. I'd go buy something big. I'd go big. If I'm going to steal your credit card, I'm going big. I'm not going.
Well, yeah.
You're going to make it obvious.
You spend as much as you can before they shut it down because they're going to put a stop on it.
That's right. In the 10 minutes I'm sitting in this drive-through, they're going to find out the card is stolen and shut it down.
I'd like to double that. I'd like, 24 pieces of nuggets now because this is stolen. Go big.
Because the police just pulled up behind me.
Yeah.
I'm Heidi here.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox. Good morning. Happy New Year. Merry late Christmas. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you're getting some time off with your family during this crazy holiday season. It's been interesting to say the least. Missouri state auditors calling on Governor Kehoe and state lawmakers to rein in skyrocketing spending in the face of slower growth and reduced federal funding. I just quoted that from the Post Disgrace. Kind of a big deal, isn't it? They are concerned that if everything switches, the state could potentially have a deficit of more than $3.8 billion if a recession hits. That's a lot. That's huge.
Better than the deficit that Minnesota's dealing with right now.
Right. How about that nonsense?
Well,
how about that nonsense in Minnesota? That is insane.
Do you see, was it the Quality Learning Center that the guy's sitting there trying to defend it? He's like, oh, yeah, it was our graphic designer who messed up the signage. And Ethan, did you say that they bust in a bunch of probably Somali kids?
Well, yeah, it was on Twitter. You could see it. They went back and it's like all these kids are getting dropped off all of a sudden, like out of nowhere. They're getting all these kids to come in when they
who
said,
was the reporter who knocked on the door and tried to bring his kid in there? And then that kind of revealed all that nonsense.
Nick Shirley.
Right?
He's a YouTuber.
Yeah.
But
it's unbelievable. And this has gone on for years now.
I saw something yesterday that supposedly there are like 5,000 daycare centers in the state of Washington and some 500 of them don't even have physical addresses and they're owned by Somalis. So now there's questions about, okay, is this the same thing happening in Washington? And if it's happening in Washington, I'll guarantee you it's happening in other states.
Probably every state. And if you say anything, you're racist, anti-immigrant, whatever, phobic, something like that, right? Claustrophobic. But yeah, there's something wrong with you. That's where we Americans really go wrong. If we call anything out that somebody's done who's not white, then we can call it out with a white person. But if you call it against anybody else, we're racist. We're something like that. No, you're just wrong. I don't care what color you are or where you come from or these kind of, there's wrong and there's right. And it comes in all colors.
Right. And it's just going back to the whole Minnesota thing. It's just sad that Walz and the other Democrats are trying to be so defensive about this. And they're saying, oh, Walz spent years cracking down on fraud. And he just needs lawmakers to get out of his way, basically, and give him that legislative power to be able to really crack down on it.
He's amazing. You know, there was somebody put something on Twitter. I don't know if you saw it. Yes, I would have played it on the radio, but it's mostly visual. And it talks about how great Minnesota is and things to do. And it shows everything from people robbing stores to car fires to all these things. And it is so well done. But like I said, it's mostly visual. So it really doesn't work for the radio. But it is done so well. And it's so important when you look at what's happening in the country and the idea that these things, like you said, it's not just in Minnesota. Happening everywhere.
Well, that's why we have to be so careful about who we're letting into our country. And we need to be checking on people because this whole thing with fraud, that's probably very common in Somalia. But guess what? That's not how we do things here in the United States. But somehow they think that's okay. And you have a wackadoodle governor Tim Walz, who is allowing this to happen. Did you see the whole flag change debacle where semi-recently he changed the flag?
No.
And it looks... it definitely resembles the Somalian flag.
Wow. That's crazy. I did see somebody on X the other day put a whole explanation about the idea that this is very regular. This is how they handle business in other countries.
Well, yeah.
And he was talking about that and he was saying, this is what they do. And when I've been in countries like that and they've tried to bribe me, then they get mad at you because this is normal for them. They don't understand anything different. This is the way they do business. And you come here to America. Well, that's not that there's not fraud, bribery, corruption in America. Nobody, has the market cornered on that. But the idea that this is it's normal for them. Everything is done that way. So what do you expect?
You're always going to have it. But when you start inviting people in from other countries or they just decide to illegally cross into our country and nothing's done about it because the Biden administration turns a blind eye to it. And basically says, come on over. We won't check. Right. We won't deport you. Do whatever you want. Yeah, this is what happens. And now you have upwards of $9 billion, they're saying, that Minnesota could have lost because of fraud. Specifically, in this case, it sounds like from the Somali community.
Yeah.
How many of those people are going to be held accountable? You're going to have the people on TV going out there like the owner of this Learing Center or whatever trying
That's
to defend
so funny.
It. And it's pathetic.
So funny. It is pathetic and it's sad for the taxpayers. But you know what? The taxpayers have just been basically, a lot of them have been asleep at the switch. They haven't paid attention to what's gone on as their state's gotten more and more overrun with people who, and I'm not talking about the color of their skin or where they come from, but there's a reason Somalia is not America. Do they even have a functioning government in Somalia?
Wouldn't think they do.
I don't know that they do. And then they come here and you're bringing, what history are you bringing? When our founders came here to America, they understood history. They understood mankind. That's why we have different branches of government, because they understand the sinful nature of mankind and you don't want to give anybody too much power. All these different things they understood because they had a frame of reference and historical, knowledge of the situation. But you've got people who come over here who lived in the dirt, and then they're going to come here and do what? Recreate what they left?
Right. I mean, think about this. People are supposed to assimilate when they come here to the United States. And a lot of these groups of people do not want to do that. Instead, they have the mindset of death to America. They want to take over America, right? Make everyone, Muslim, for example, in some cases. I think about if I were to go to another country and I were to start rallying people from America to come over. Like if I went to Iran, okay, and I go and I start getting people to go over to Iran and I say death to Iran and let's take over and bring the Western values over here. I would be dead so fast. They would never tolerate that. But for some reason here in the United States, it's the opposite. And we're supposed to all hold hands with them and say kumbaya.
Yeah, we're stupid because we want to be, you know, a welcoming country. Because of that, we don't understand when people are trying to basically overrun us. I mean, you wouldn't march down the streets of Tehran with an American flag and gathering some people behind you in a pair of shorts, would you? Probably not.
Well, you'd be dead pretty quickly, probably.
That's what I'm saying. So that's what we need. We don't need to be overrun by the pirates. That's for sure. Scary. Very, very scary. I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Cox.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox. Kim's here. Ethan's here. Mark's just gone, taking a couple extra days off because it's the holiday season, and why shouldn't he?
Ditcher.
Is he healthy? He's not sick, is he?
No, he's taking days.
Planned days off.
Yes.
They keep saying everyone is sick, and a lot of people are this time of year. It's a tough, especially when the weather's changing by the minute around here.
Well, I heard everyone's getting the flu, which I had the flu last year. The day after Christmas, I had the flu, and then I went straight into pregnancy sickness. So it was it was quite the start of the year last year for many
Now,
reasons.
When you have the flu and you are pregnant, can you take anything?
Well, funny that you say that. I was crawling up the stairs. I couldn't even stand up to walk up my stairs. I was so sick, which is funny, by the way, because if you have flu B, which I think is what I had, they'll be like, oh, it's a good thing you don't have flu A. Flu A is worse. I'm like, really? Really? Don't say that to me right now because I'm incredibly miserable. I don't know what's worse than this. But anyway, beside the point, why am I blanking on the name of the medication that they gave me that's very common for the flu, which, by the way, is stupid because I've heard that it's really not effective unless you
Theraflu?
Take it. Was it Theraflu? This is going to bother me. But anyway, I took it and I heard that it was safe for pregnancy. So, you know, it starts. Well, I don't know that it really helped. I think I was naturally getting over it. But then I had a miscarriage scare and I ended up in the hospital on New Year's Day.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was a terrible New Year's Eve last year. Again, me thinking I'm having a miscarriage. And I would say never, ever, ever, ever take this drug, especially if you're pregnant. But even if I'm not, I will not be a Tamiflu. I have nothing good to say about Tamiflu.
Wow. Interesting. So you think that caused a possible, without getting into graphic details,
100
caused you to think?
100%. Because without going into detail, if you look at the what can happen from taking Tamiflu while pregnant, completely lines up. But guess what? The doctor neglected to tell me that and reassured me that everything was safe. And I'm normally one of those people where I have a million questions because I don't trust him. And I was so, so miserable that I was willing. And, you know, you get to that point where you're like, God, I just need anything. Right. And come to find out, not only is it not good for people when they're pregnant, but on top of that, if you don't take it like before symptoms start, which how would you ever know you need to take it until the symptoms start? It's not even effective. So if you've already been having and dealing with flu symptoms for a few days, supposedly Tamiflu is completely worthless. So don't waste your time on it. I have clearly very strong feelings about it because I'm very, very frustrated with that quote unquote doctor who sat there and tried to tell me that it was safe.
That's terrifying. Well, you know, I'm obviously older than you are, but when I was my mother says, she was pregnant with me, her first child. She was sleeping a lot and tired, and her doctor gave her, you ready for this? Dexedrine.
What is that?
Speed.
Oh my gosh.
When she was pregnant with me. In the first trimester, she was taking Dexedrine. You wonder why I'm like this. anyway, she didn't take it throughout the pregnancy. She said she'd have a 3 o'clock in the morning scrubbing floors, and she went, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't be taking this. But back then, they didn't realize that things crossed the placenta. I don't know why they didn't, but they didn't. And so she didn't take it for long, but she did take it. I mean, they would never prescribe that today to a pregnant mother.
Yeah, I know. It is wild when you think about that, but we know better now and we should know better now, and we clearly don't.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's definitely crazy. Well, Vladimir Zelensky, oh boy, he wants a 50-year guarantee. Guarantee of what? Money keeps flowing in? Is that what you want, pal? A 50-year security guarantee. You know what cracks me up? Do you remember, Ethan might remember this, I don't know if they have these things anymore, but remember they used to have those t-shirts years ago where there would be an eagle swooping into the mouse and the mouse was flipping the eagle off and it said the last act of defiance. Do you remember that?
I can't say that I do.
Okay, but so you get the visual here, right? The eagle's going. The eagle had the mouse has no power whatsoever, and the mouse is still pulling the middle finger, and the eagle's swooping in, right? Volodymyr Zelensky has no power here, and he's making more demands. I want a 50-year guarantee of security. What does that even mean?
But what the United States offering a 15-year security guarantee?
That's bad enough.
What does that even mean? What does that entail? Are we guaranteeing that if push comes to shove, that American troops would get involved? Because I'm not going to back that up.
I don't support that. No, he wants 50 years of protection against a hypothetical Russian invasion. What does that mean? Troops on the ground? No. I don't want to do that.
I just want to know even what a 15-year plan means.
Right.
For him.
What does it mean? Boots on the ground? How much equipment do we... You know what I think it means? The money keeps flowing in for him. That's what it comes down to.
Right. And I don't support Russia taking over more control and land in Ukraine. I don't want
Nobody does.
I don't want Putin to have more power. But I also think at some point we need to say, okay, Ukraine, enough is enough. And I know we have some deal with them that was made years ago, but we have to tread very lightly here with what we do. And the way the Biden administration handled everything with Zelensky, where Biden was a puppet and would just write off all these checks and there was no accountability to make sure that money was being spent in the way it was supposed to be spent, that's a problem. So we need to pull things back here and make sure we're doing it the right way.
How about getting a 50-year guarantee from Europe? How about that?
Well, yeah.
I could go for that. They're right there. Nice and close. Just let them take care of your lame butt. Listen, I agree with you. I don't want Russia doing what they're doing, and I don't want them taking more land and all the different things they're trying to do. But at the end of the day, I mean, how long can Ukraine... Europe should step up, because obviously all of us have a vested interest in Ukraine. We don't want Russia taking over Ukraine. But Europe should step up and do this. And for so many years, and God bless Trump, is another one of the things I voted for, hashtag this is what I voted for, he has asked them to pay up more money to contribute toward this kind of thing. And Europe had just relied on us for so long. Well, if it gets tough, we'll just call in the U.S. Well, that's what we need to end. And Trump's tried very hard to end that. And they've been ponying up. They should be over there defending Ukraine.
Yes, Trump has been very effective at making sure others are contributing. But you're right.
Exactly.
Why has it been for so long? Why has the expectation just been, oh, okay, the United States will do it?
Yeah, well, when Europe can do it, there's no reason for that. So I don't know. It's funny. Remember when Vladimir Putin flew into Alaska? Remember that a couple months ago? And there was a big, hullabaloo, and he flew into Alaska in pomp and circumstance, blah, 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 blah. And then they had their press conference afterwards. And what happened was Russia comes out, or Putin comes out, and he's speaking in Russian. Obviously, I don't understand Russian, but then you couldn't hear the interpreter over it. They should have turned the interpreter's mic up so you could hear what was said. He went on and on and on and on and on forever, it seemed like. And then Trump got up and said about three lines and left, and it was over. There was nothing, no agreement reached. And Putin has been pushing and pushing. Remember that whole thing? It was a big nothing burger.
Yes, I do remember that. I was trying to rack my brain, but yes.
Nothing was accomplished at all. I watched it. I was walking around the house going, okay, here's press conference. Oh, cool. Here we go. Nothing happened.
Yep.
And so you look at that and, I'm not saying that, Trump's some kind of magician. He wave a magic wand and make these things go away. But of course, he was the guy who was going to solve everything in one day.
That's where I wish Trump would just not say stuff like that.
Exactly.
Because it's not, look, I have more faith in Trump being able to do this, get peace deals, than any other president I can think of. But you're not going to do that. And it just ends up angering people. And it's like a letdown. You don't want to overpromise and undersell. And that's exactly what he's doing. He should just say, hey, we're going to end this war. And, maybe give a date, I don't know, within 100 days or whatever. But to say you're going to end it on day one, it's sad, because most of us realize that's kind of tongue in cheek, because it's pretty much impossible. But other people are going to hold him to that. And then when they think about who they want to vote for, they think, well, you know what? the Republicans let us down. They didn't stay true to their promises.
Right. Right. That's what's going to happen. Of course, you know, the Democrats are going to vote for Democrats no matter what. No, you know, no matter how much their cities get burned down, they're still going to vote for Democrats, which I will not understand.
Well, some of them,
it makes no sense.
Some of them, I agree, are never going to change. It doesn't matter what the Democrats do. Some people would still vote for Tim Walz right now. And people
That's
voted
what I mean.
For Sam Page over and over again. But we did see a shift, though, in this last presidential election. I credit a good majority of that, not all of it, but a vast majority of it to Charlie Kirk going to these college campuses and putting videos out on social media where other young people are going to see some of these ideas they have challenged. So we did see a shift. I mean, the people who have forever voted Democrat started kind of moving right. The question is, will that be the same trend come midterms, or are we at risk of losing some of these seats because you have Glenn Youngkin who's no longer, you know, you have a Democrat taking over.
That's right. God bless. You know, when you're not going to vote for Winsome Sears, I don't know what to tell you, Virginia. She's a brilliant woman. She's brilliant. I mean, and she's, you know, a veteran, married since dirt, conservative, Christian, very, very smart woman, very competent. And they put this wacko in there instead. You know, and there were some major disappointments over the last election, which is concerning with 2026 on the horizon. Very concerning.
Yes, we have to be careful. We can't just assume, oh, we have the power and Trump's in office. And so therefore, yeah. You know, we'll maintain control of the House and the Senate. Not true.
Right. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit about a CNN poll that has got what Republicans think of J.D. Vance. Of course, you know, CNN is going to take shots at J.D. Vance every chance they get. He, a lot of people consider him to be the next possible candidate for president. We'll talk about that much more coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Heidi Harrell.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Well, a Florida man has filed a lawsuit against Outback Steakhouse, alleging that a handicapped toilet he was using at one of their locations suddenly shattered and collapsed while he was using it. They say he sustained severe bodily injury. And without going into too much detail, this article doesn't say specifically what happened. However, it says the injuries he asserts he suffered from range from significant and permanent loss of an important bodily function to loss of capacity for the enjoyment of life. And he wants $50,000, which, quite frankly, if what happened is how he says it happened, $50,000 is nothing.
That's nothing. By the way, how much did this guy weigh? We got to weigh on this guy?
Don't know.
That'd be my first question.
That same thing.
Yeah, how do you break a toilet? I mean, you know, it's really hard to break a toilet. How about toilets shatter? Shatter what?
Well, he accused the restaurant of negligence and failing to ensure the toilet was properly secured to the floor.
Okay, but that's still... Okay, it might tip it over. I can't imagine it shattering it. Even if it is made out of ceramic, it's not going to go that far down where it would shatter.
Yeah, usually you have to hit them pretty hard for something to shatter.
Exactly. And it's a pretty tough... I mean, toilets are... You've ever moved a toilet around?
They're heavy.
My husband deals with that. Yeah, they're very heavy. They're not designed to...
So how would the seat just shatter? He had to have tipped it over and then it shattered while he was sitting on it.
Unless the only thing I could think is have you seen those really thin toilet seats? The thin plastic ones?
Cheapy, thin ones.
Maybe he sat down on that and it cracked.
Yeah, but do restaurants have those? And would they have those in a handicapped stall?
That's the only thing I could think of.
Was it a handicapped stall? Was this specifically a handicapped toilet? Okay.
Well, a handicapped stall. I guess I don't know if it's specifically... Is there such thing as a handicapped toilet? Wouldn't it just be like a rail that they put around the toilet? It's a normal toilet with a rail?
Well, there are toilets that are shorter, that are taller and shorter.
Oh, that's true.
And you can buy for your home. I don't know what the size is for a commercial establishment, but I'm just still going back to the weight thing. I'm thinking this guy had to be huge. Was he handicapped already, or was he, wait for it, really a big guy who went into the handicapped toilet? And because that stall's bigger, we all do that if no one's waiting in line, right? I do it. It's just you have more room in there. And maybe that's how it happened. I don't know.
That's a good question, but I would imagine that there's a reason why he was in a stall instead of a urinal. And I can only imagine how embarrassing it was when an employee who had to find him and help him up. And
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming up next, as you're eating your Cheerios. toilet's breaking.
It looks like Kim's favorite singer, Beyonce, has officially crossed over. Yeah. She is a billionaire now. That's according to Forbes. Her massive Renaissance tour grossed over $579 million globally, and that pushed her personal finance to the $1 billion mark.
She's overrated.
So she went blonde and she went country and now she's a billionaire like Taylor. Is that what I'm getting here?
Pretty much. Her and her husband Jay-Z. Jay-Z was already a billionaire. So now they have $2 billion.
Well, don't love Beyoncé. Don't really love her music.
You know you love her.
Nope.
I don't wish any of these people ill who've worked hard for their money. I don't.
She has worked hard. I just don't like her music very much. Yeah. So apparently there's a new trend of what's called a sleepcation, where people are booking these getaways specifically to rest, recharge, and prioritize sleep over sightseeing. They say it's because of burnout from work and just wanting to focus more on themselves and wellness. So they will sometimes go tech-free and, you know, make sure they have blackout curtains and basically just sleep the entire vacation.
I've always wondered why people would go on a cruise or anything like that and spend the entire time drinking on a lounge chair. It makes no sense to me. Why wouldn't you just stay home and sleep and get some blackout drapes in your home and turn off the tech and sleep in your own home? But by the time you fly, go through all the aggravation of traveling and get there, and then you don't even know who's been on that mattress. No, thanks.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to pay for a flight in a hotel over in Europe just to sleep the entire time. I'm going to sleep at home and then go to Europe and sightsee, because you do things just like, you know, you try foods in Europe that you can't necessarily get in the United States. For me, that's part of the fun.
Right. You can do that at home, folks. Really, it's possible. Turn off your electronics, put the blackout blinds up, and sleep in your own home and save yourself a lot of money. I'm just trying to help you here.
Just doesn't feel like a vacation, though.
What? What
does it? If you're just sleeping at home.
Well, but that's really not the vacation. You're just spending a whole weekend sleeping, and then you're going on vacation. Because when you get back from a vacation, you kind of do need
a
day off. I always have appreciated when I've taken like the Monday off, or I come back on Saturday instead of Sunday, even though I want to have the extra day. It's way better when you can at least kind of recharge at home before you start back into busy life.
Oh, absolutely. Especially if you're flying a long way, then you're jet lagged and everything else. And that's a mess. Yeah, vacations are fun, but there's a lot to recover from.
So it looks like a new Guinness Book of World Records record has been set, but it hasn't been done by an athlete. This time it's been done by a robot.
Of course.
The robot is hitting shuttlecocks, which are the little birdies from badminton, and it hit one 300 miles per hour, and that is faster than any human's ever done it. The previous human record was around 332 kilometers per hour, which I believe is around 206 miles per hour.
I need to see a video of this.
You won't be able to see it. It's 300 miles an hour. It's just
That's
a blur,
insane.
I'm sure.
Insane.
And why did this happen?
Because the Chinese people are bored.
Because people have too much time on their hands.
Building robots, what else are you going to do for?
Have you seen the robots playing football or soccer and
they just fall over?
Yeah, it's really funny, actually. Have you seen that, Heidi?
Best.
No, I've missed that, I guess.
Please go Google that. It's worth watching.
I'm thinking of the old Bud Bowl they used to do before the... Remember that Super Bowl? They would do the bottles football. Yeah.
I have not. I just know the Puppy Bowl.
Yeah.
That's also cute. Yes. So there's this pile of snow that has become a tourist attraction in New York City. The snow pile was shaped into a massive Snow King sculpture on a Brooklyn sidewalk. And people are going out of their way just to get a glimpse of it and, you know, take a picture in front of it kissing. It actually looks pretty cool. Looks like Poseidon.
It does? I haven't seen it. Okay.
It's pretty neat.
What's it called? The Brooklyn what?
Just Google like the Brooklyn King snow sculpture.
Okay.
But it's funny because we have, what was it, Ethan?
It's a jar of pickles.
Yeah. But where is it? Is it Interstate 64? I-64?
No, it's the on-ramp going on to 270 from Manchester Road.
It's funny that you know that.
I know exactly.
Wait, the pickle of jars? Is there a pickle of jars? Wow, clearly.
There is a pickle of jars. It's on the on-ramp.
The jar of pickles.
Yes.
I'm surprised they don't have a guard, you know, guarding this so nobody jumps on the top of it and squishes its crown.
Well, it's going to melt here soon, probably. So how long can you make that last?
It's very cool. Who did that? The sculpture was done by a Belarusian artist, Henrik Ilukia, I guess.
Nailed it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And one quick final one. It looks like traffic in Wyoming's National Park came to a standstill when two enormous bison decided they were going to settle their differences right there in traffic.
That
started locking horns.
Nuts watching that in person.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to dealt with it, I'll tell you that much.
No, you would not. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.